So that's what we've entitled it, How to Survive a Sermon. And tonight I just want to get very practical with you. We're not even really going to, this doesn't even qualify as a Bible study per se, but this is sort of the application based on the Bible study we've already had, because we tried to look into the Word. So I don't often just go strictly to application, but I just want to share with you tonight a list. It's not even an outline, it's just a list, okay? A list of things that I want to share with you that are very practical, that some of the things I try to discipline myself to do when I'm on the hearing end, and some things that I've learned over the years, just to encourage you to be a good hearer, all right? I didn't even reproduce the little chart that we added to over those 5 weeks, and I thought you would have, if I showed you the chart one more time, you'd probably throw something at me, because it was, we did that chart for so long. So we'll move on. But here's just some ideas to help you be a better hearer of a sermon. After all, if you are a churchgoer, and you are a churchgoer because you have gone to church to be hearing this as we're here tonight, you are investing a lot of your time in the receiving of the message of God's Word. And you think about time. Time is a commodity. I mean, it's a precious commodity. It's a precious, valuable resource. And most of us treat our time as a very precious resource. We value our time. We kind of are stingy with our time sometimes. So you've invested your time. So let's make this as productive as possible. None of us like, I don't think, to waste time. Now, there's some time where you have maybe downtime, but that is still for a purpose, to rest or to catch your breath or whatever it is. But just to waste time, we don't like that. And I've seen some of you stopped at very long red lights in traffic. So I know you really don't like to waste time. So let's make this productive. So here's the list, all right? And I don't even know if this is in maybe it's a little bit of in an order. And also, if you have a question or something you want to add, I think I've got 10 on the list. I've actually thought of one more since I made the list, so actually the list will be 11. And maybe you have an idea that you want to share, and hopefully we'll have time for that as we go. There is no clock on the wall tonight because it's been taken off for renovation, so if I go way over time, you can just wave at me or something. Number one, review the previous Bible study, particularly if it's in a series. If you really want to plug into what is being taught this week, this Sunday, this service, take a moment and try to think how this fits. Now, our pattern here is usually it's a series that, you know, one theme, one passage, one book of the Bible. We've just finished studying Peter that went for 18 sermons in that series on Sunday night. It's all available online if you missed any of that or you want to review that material. But there's a theme to it. So if we're in a study where there's a continuing theme, stop and think, okay, what are we studying? What have we been studying? What did I learn last week? What did we learn the week before? Just kind of get the flow of it. It kind of sets the parameters for what you're about to do, okay? I like to read books, and I do like to read. I don't really have as much time to read sometimes as I would like. But whenever Amazon.com came out, for a book lover, it's wonderful. Not only because you can order books. Of course, now, if you have one of those electronic devices, you can just get the book right to your little machine instantaneously. You don't even have to go to the bookstore. You don't have to wait for the mailman to bring it. It's instantaneous. But here's the part I really like. Before I read the book, I can click on there, and here's everybody's comments about the book. Not professional reviewers, not somebody trying to sell books, but just people like me. And I like to read the reviews. It kind of lets me know a little bit about, is this worth my time or not? Yeah, this fits. So this is kind of like getting the review or finding your place or getting a preview. So where are we? What are we studying? So does anyone know what we're studying Sunday morning? Who said Colossians? Okay, you win the prize. If I had a candy bar, I'd bring it back and give it to you, okay? So I heard, if you use the series title or whatever, that's fine. I just heard Cora. So that's good. So the book of Colossians, we're studying that verse by verse, chapter by chapter, only four chapters, obviously. But so, okay, you get the frame. You understand that? Okay, number two. Don't minimize number two. Pray. Pray for ourselves. Pray for myself. Lord, I need to hear something today. I want to get something that you want to share with me. And maybe need to pray about my attitude. Sometimes, frankly, it's praying about my physical situation. Lord, I'm tired. I need some help to really concentrate. I'm distracted, or I hurt. I have pain, or whatever it is. Lord, help me physically with this, or help me to not miss what you have for me. And then pray for the person that's teaching. Pray for the person that's preaching. Lord, I pray that you would enable them, empower them, help them to communicate in such a way that not just me, but all of the hearers here can hear. There is no substitute for the power of prayer. And maybe that should have been number one. Like I said, no particular order that we're actually going in tonight. But pray. Now, you can do that now. You can do that on Sunday morning when you're getting out of bed. But I think there's nothing wrong even in the midst of a service. As we're getting ready to take in, okay, Lord, even the private prayer of my heart, Lord, okay, I'm ready now. We're opening my Bible. This is your word. I'm ready to hear it. Just have that communication with God, that little communion with God, that little appeal for God's help for me and for the person communicating, I think can radically change what's going on. And frankly, I've told you this, and I've been a pastor. At the end of this year, it'll pass the 30-year mark for me. I'm really not that old. I don't know how that happened, but I'm not old enough to get 30 years in, but actually I am. But nonetheless, you think about my experience, and from you and this church, I really know you pray for me. And I don't just say that as a little phrase. I know you do, because I, and again, it's one of those things you can't quantify. You just feel it. You know it. And it's amazing to me how sometimes the Lord uses feeble efforts from someone like me, and I'm sometimes just shocked. Lord, how does this work? and sometimes you don't know what you're praying for. This last Sunday, I sat down here right up here with Blaine. If you were here in the 11 o'clock service after the 9 o'clock service, and Blaine looks over and he says, "How you doing?" And I told him, I said, "Probably in the 9 o'clock service, I probably came as close to stopping halfway the sermon and say, folks, I've got to stop because my back was out." And it was just like, I was really hurting. And it's hard to think when you hurt. My back is better. I'm not like, you know, I'm not a candidate for surgery, so don't get too worried. But it was very distracting. It's very distracting. And a couple people said some things because just to confirm to me, in spite of my distraction, the Lord still uses his word somehow. You know, that's by prayer. That's by God's intervention. Number three. Read the passage and meditate before the sermon begins. Okay? If you know what it's going to be, you've already been clued in for next time, correct? Cora already told you, it's Colossians. It's Colossians chapter 2, we're beginning in verse 9, all right? So you're ready to roll. Just that next few verses down through, I think 16, 17, something like that. If you read more than that, you're still okay. But read. And oftentimes, it's not hard to figure out what it's going to be because if we're going chapter by chapter, you can, where we left off last time is where we're going to pick up next time. Also, when you open your bulletin, it says right there what we're going to be reading. So you could, I mean, we're talking about 5 or 6 verses in this week, so you can read it even as you're getting ready. The material that you receive in the bulletin usually is online on our website by Thursday. And by the way, I don't share this very broadly, but for those of you that use the notes that have blanks in them in the bulletin, if you get the one online that's available on Thursday, the blanks are already filled in for you, okay? There's a couple people, I see them, I walk in and they've got their notes out. It's the one printed off the internet and all the blanks are filled in, you know. So if that head start helps you, that's okay. But anyway, just read ahead. Just kind of get flowing. You kind of know what to expect. Get to asking your questions in your own mind. So read ahead. Whether you do it just 2 minutes before the service starts or you do it over a couple days advance notice, however that works for you, okay? But that really helps. Number four, use the Bible study tools that you have. Use the Bible study tools that you have. I brought my study Bible. I have more than one for different purposes, but this old beat up hardback copy is actually my favorite at the moment. But if you have a study Bible that has notes at the bottom or notes down the side or maps in the back or any of those kind of helps that's been packed into a study Bible, you have a great resource to help you when the Word of God is being taught and preached. You have a lot of stuff that's right at your disposal. Go down and read that stuff at the bottom. Now remember, the stuff at the bottom is not as authoritative as the stuff at the top, okay? You understand that, right? Those are just commentary and thoughts on subjects, but it will guide you along. Also, something else you have is you'll have other verses annotated there, cross-references, we call them. And if you follow those through, there's a reason it takes you from the verse you're reading here to a verse in another book or another chapter. There's some connection between the concept or the theme or what Paul's writing about or trying to define. If you recall Sunday, we were talking about in Colossians chapter 1, all of those realities that he was talking about, faith, truth, love, and hope, all have their beginning point in the gospel. And if you recall what I did was, I said, well, we better define what the gospel was. So we went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul gives the definition of the gospel. You could have probably done the same if you had a study Bible. When you come down in Colossians chapter 1, down to verse 5, 6, I think it's verse 6, where it says gospel, you might well have a cross-reference in your Bible that would tell you to go over to 1 Corinthians 15 and read what the gospel is. So those tools that you have, depending on what you bring with you and what you have available, use them. I don't even know as you have to, you know, here's the study Bible y'all have to have, but if you have one, use it. Okay? Look at the maps in the back. Look at whatever's available to you. Use those tools. If you have other tools available, that's fine. We do have free wireless here. So if you use a tablet or a notebook or a smartphone and you want to get online, we will get you online, and then you have a wealth of things at your disposal. Just don't be reading USA Today while I'm preaching, okay? Or checking your email, or, you know, searching on Google just for the fun of it or any of that sort of thing. But if you can find tools that help you, use them, okay? Number five, this is an important one. And one, I don't know if you've ever considered this or not, but I've said it this way: discover the big idea. If a sermon is really put together correctly, and I'm not sure that any one of us who preach would ever say everything that we do is correctly put together, but there is something that ties it all together. There's really one concept that's being communicated. There's one idea that is the idea of the message. Really, when you preach a sermon, it might have 10 points, it might have 5 points, it might have 2 points, and occasionally you might have a sermon that has no point. That was a joke. But there should be one central idea. Sometimes I'll even just tell you. Sometimes I'll say, here's the summary statement, or here's the idea. I call it different things, but usually it's like a summary statement before we even get into the study as it flows from it. So sometimes it's really obvious because it's just kind of like smacks you in the face. Sometimes it's not that obvious. Sometimes I save it to the end. This point, this point, this point, this point. Therefore, here's the big idea. But years ago, someone told me that if you're a preacher, if you can't write down what you're saying, if you can't write it with a dull pencil on a postcard, you're too complicated in what you're saying. In other words, just one kind of statement should summarize everything. If you can get that, then it all starts to make sense. We're talking about Sunday was the starting point of God's provision in our life. Where does all the stuff we need in life, where does it start? It starts with, who said the gospel? Give them another candy bar. Okay, if I had one. Yeah, that's the point. That's what that's the big idea. So if you can determine that, and then number two, which flows from that, track the support structure of the big idea. There's only so many things that you can do in communication. Here's the concept. Here's the idea. Everything that God needs, it gives us spiritually, it goes back to the gospel. That was the idea from Sunday. There's only so many things you can do. You can restate the idea. I can restate it 4 different ways, 5 different ways, use different illustrations, different verses, whatever. That's one thing you can do. Number two, you can illustrate it. That's usually more of a narrative story, like a... I know Sunday night we were talking about Peter being in Joppa when Cornelius' servants came to him in Acts chapter 10. And so Acts chapter 10, Peter is in Joppa and he gets this appeal to go and to preach to Gentiles. Well, we went back in our thinking at least to think about another person who was in Joppa that God came to and said, go and preach to Gentiles. Remember the story of Jonah? Go to Nineveh, leave Joppa, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach, cry against it. You remember what Jonah did? Off the other way. Didn't work out too good because God had a way of still redirecting him till he saw he got back to Nineveh. But Peter was at that same crux point. So sometimes it's a story to illustrate what Peter maybe was experiencing, so forth. Number three, you can prove it. In other words, God loves you. Well, how could that be proved? He proved it by making you. He proved it by caring for you. He proved it by providing for you. He proved it by dying for you in the person of Christ. See, all that proves the point you're making. Or another structure method is this, to explain it. What does the love of God mean? Well, this word gives us this nuance of meaning of love, or this word, and you explain it. Basically, those five things, probably 90% of teaching or preaching is going to fall into one of those patterns. Now, the point is not to say, oh, that was a great pattern, Pastor. But the point is, if you kind of detect the pattern, it's going to clue you into, okay, here's the logic. Here's what we're doing. This makes sense. And the more you understand what you're watching, it makes sense. Julie took me to a concert a while back. I guess I took her because I actually bought the tickets. Went down to the Clay Center to this thing. And the symphony was playing. This has been several years ago. And they had this guest singer for the evening. And this lady comes out. And by the way, she didn't look like anything like the picture in the program. But that was another story. But she, this soprano, and I'm sure she sang very well. I mean, she had a wonderful tone to her voice. But she didn't sing one word in English. So I was kind of lost. I kept asking Julie, what language is that? Is that French or Italian or Latin? I really didn't know. And just because I couldn't relate to, I mean, I guess I should have said the music's beautiful, which it was, and the symphony was wonderful, which it was, and the lady had a wonderful voice, but I couldn't relate to it because I didn't have any handle on it. Is she singing a love song? Is she singing about how terrible her life is? Is she singing about the beauty of roses? Is she singing about history? I have no idea because I couldn't understand her language. Now, if you like listening to people sing in other languages that you can't speak, that's your business, okay? Just go to some opera and knock yourself out, okay? That's if that's what you like. But sometimes I think in preaching, we don't give people the handles on what it is we're doing, and it sometimes comes across as someone talking in a foreign language. I learned this. I was reminded again this recently when this was earlier in Peter's life in the Sunday evening series, and someone who was fairly new to the faith, I was talking about how the Spirit of God fell upon the church on the day of Pentecost. Now, you all understand that, right? But this person comes and says, hey, Pastor, what's a Pentecost? They didn't have the handle. And unfortunately, I hadn't taken, it would take about one sentence to say, Pentecost was one of the holidays that the Jews celebrated every year. Now, that's not everything you can say about Pentecost. But that gave you enough to know, oh, it was a holiday. It was a big deal day. Got that. And it was on that day that they called Pentecost that the Spirit of God comes. So sometimes we don't give people the handles to hang on to, and sometimes I'm still learning. But one of the handles is, how do we structurally do this? Number four, ask questions, listen for answers. That does not mean you should raise your hand during a sermon, okay? But that means mentally, you can be asking questions. Maybe you look ahead to the next verse. I really wonder what he's talking about there. I'm going to be listening to see if I'm going to get an answer as we're coming. It's part of, remember we talked about mental engagement? Remember the Bereans we looked at Luke says in Acts that the Bereans were more noble than the people in this previous city because it says they searched the scriptures to see whether these things were so. They got in and they dug for themselves. Part of that is just mentally being engaged. Not all of your questions are going to be answered. My wife is very good at helping me with this. I really thought you were going to, like, tell me what that word meant, and you didn't say anything about it. Okay, well, you can't say everything about everything, but that's probably a good reminder for me. So, but just, it's just that mentally, what's this going to be about? What's this mean? I want to explain this. And just that kind of anticipation will help. Number eight, listen with the heart as well as the head. And there's not a lot I can say about that other than we need to have our heart open to what God's wanting to do here. This is not just a college lecture. This is God's word. This is God speaking to us. There's a spiritual quality to what we do that we can't even completely, we don't understand it. Primarily because this book, unlike any other book, first of all, it is a living book. The Bible says that the word of God is quick. That means it's living. It has a living quality to it. And it's the product of God's breath. It's God's voice. It's from His mouth. So this is different than any other book you'll ever read. And it's accurate. It's authoritative. We could talk about all those things. But it's living. So just have your heart open. It should touch our emotions as well as our thinking process. We should feel something toward God. And sometimes, by the way, the feeling isn't always good. I mean, I've had some times when I've listened to someone preach in the Word of God, and I frankly feel pretty miserable because the Spirit of God is convicting me of something or telling me something needs to change or I'm showing me how short I've come. And that's a good thing, too. Sometimes it's got to ferret out the deficiencies in our lives. And sometimes it's joy. Sometimes it's, thank you, God, that you love someone like me, that Christ died for me, that He can give me faith and hope and truth and love for other people. What? I mean, that's a pretty good quartet of reality that we have that comes from the gospel. So, listen with heart. Okay, number nine, make a to-do list. And all I mean by that is leave with something to do based on what you've just heard. I try to give you some of those in my preaching, and sometimes the text will lend it more. Sometimes it's very particular. If in chapter 4 of Colossians, there's a section about prayer. At that time, it's just going to be pray. We all need to pray in these ways and for these things, and here's the pattern we learn from the Scripture. That's very evident. Sometimes it's not that clear. Sometimes it's not quite that defined, but okay, Lord, I want to do something. Remember we talked about being a doer of the Word of God when we studied it from the first chapter of James. You know, be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. Remember we talked about a hearer is like someone that looks at himself in the mirror but then doesn't change anything about their appearance. It's just heard. But a doer is one that puts it into action. Number 10, don't hesitate to seek further interaction with the preacher. Remember we talked last time we were together about there is this relative quality between the preacher and the hearer. Remember we talked that there's a difference between just hearing a podcast or hearing a CD or seeing someone on TV or listening on the radio. Yeah, we're getting the content, but there needs to be more than that, and we need to be open to that. So I don't mind. You got a question? I didn't understand that? Come and ask me. Oftentimes I'll tell you, I don't know the answer to your question. If I don't know, I really don't want to fake it. I'd rather just tell you I don't know. But sometimes that interaction is good. Or talk about it among the people that you're with. Have an ongoing discussion on that. One of the things that we're doing, and this is true of the current series on Colossians, is on the website, you can not only get the outline with the blanks already filled in, but you can also get a discussion guide. We're doing this so that this could be used for small group discussion as well in a Bible study, but also you can use it for your own family, you can use it for yourself. Just some questions, just some things to probe deeper, just to help you get going in that. And you can download that with a mouse click if you've got a computer and the internet, and it's available to you. So that's available. So don't, that interaction. Number 11, you have to write this down because I didn't put it on the list. This should have been earlier. But number 11 is take notes. Write something down. We give you a piece of paper that you can write on. And some of you like to write in your Bibles. If that's your thing, that's fine. Some of you, I wouldn't write in my Bible. Well, fine. Something else to write on it. But the fact of writing it down, preserving it, really does help. It's amazing to me. There's a couple of you who you know who you are. I see your half-page notes. And it's like there's no white space left. You've like written all over everywhere. And there's a couple times I'm tempted to say, I didn't really say all that, did I? I mean, I think you got more stuff on your paper than I ever said. And maybe that's true because you're thinking about it, that sort of thing. Okay? I just want to take, would you allow me 2 more minutes? to just say, do you have any suggestions that you would like to share? You'd like to get on record that you've learned that would be, that you'd like to share with your brothers and sisters here for the Bible study tonight? Yes, sir.
Three words.
Don't use the word boring in church ever again. No, I'm just teasing. Go ahead.
Three words that really, really benefited me all through undergrad and graduate school. Be here now.
Be here now.
Don't be thinking about what you're going to eat, what you're going to do tomorrow morning. I mean, that helped me retain so much information. Just be here now. I'd start slipping away. Be here now. Start thinking about golf or this or that. Be here now. I retained so much information.
Good. That's really good advice, because oftentimes we're here in body, and you know, my mind is sitting on the beach at Maui. Okay, that's where I'm at, but my body's here. Actually, it sounds pretty good on a cold night, doesn't it? Any other suggestions you have? Thoughts you want to share? That was good. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Be expecting to hear something.
Be expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Expect to get something out of
yeah.
it. Don't go to church thinking that you're not going to get anything.
Yeah.
You want to go with the attitude that you are going to get something out
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Go looking for something.
Yeah.
You tend to find what you look for, you know? And that's so true. And I think part of that expecting is knowing that, you know, it really doesn't matter if the guy up there is good, bad, or indifferent. Hopefully he's not bad, but this, there's something here for us. There's something here for us. And be expecting that. Very good. One more. You got one more? Are y'all talked out? You just want to go home? Thank you. I've enjoyed this series, and thank you for letting me just kind of talk about what I'm excited about. But I hope this has at least given us a few things that is going to help us in the whole process of communicating God's truth, because it's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Father, for your word that we've explored over these weeks. Thank you for these practical things we've been able to talk about tonight. Bless your people. Bless us to be good hearers of the word of God. Help us well to be good communicators of the word of God. Because, Lord, we don't want to miss your message for us, to us, and from your very own heart. So accept our thanks in that. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Y'all have a good night. Be safe going home.